Today we finished a great portion of the ages, which is Surah Al-A'raf. Before we talk a little about Surah Al-A'raf, let us just do a little bit of highlights of the different things that we have done also in Surah Al-An'am. For example, there is this beautiful thing that we always talk about, such as regarding Shaitan, regarding Allah Ta'ala making certain rules and regulations for Adam alayhi salam, and thereafter, because the rules and regulations have been followed, they get expelled from Jannah. And Shaitan made a pledge, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ مِنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ مِنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. That basically, I will get humans left and right, front and back, top to bottom, wherever they are. And Allah basically gave Shaitan the ability to do this. You want to get them? Fine. You are allowed to go and do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all a weapon. And today I was speaking to a very close individual, and he said, this is what he told me. He says, you have a weapon with you that can let go of every wrong that is around you. So I said, what is that weapon? That weapon is one thing. That weapon is not your job. That weapon is not your knowledge. That weapon is not your lineage. That weapon is a very simple thing, yet is the most difficult thing for you to do and for everyone to do. I said, what is that? It is the ability to use your knowledge the way Allah wants you to use it. And that is the problem with everyone. That knowledge is something we all have. But the a'mal that goes with that knowledge is something that is very difficult. That is why when Adam alayhi salam got kicked out, what was the first dua that he began to make repeatedly? And that was, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you look at this dua, in reality, anyone that wants change in life, on any level, whether it's your business, whether it's your relationship, whatever it is, they have this 12-step program that people want Alcoholic Anonymous or something. The first thing they will tell you is you must do what? Exactly, acknowledge. Acknowledge the given wrong. If you don't acknowledge your given wrong, that's it, you are gone. Come up with all the arguments you want, be the most brilliant individual in coming up with all your solutions. But if there is no acknowledgement, you are going to fail. That's exactly what Adam alayhi salam did. Rabbana, first addressing is Allah. Zalamna anfusana, we have oppressed ourselves. Thereafter he says, wa illam taghfir lana, and of course if you don't forgive us. And the key word is wa tarhamna. He could have just said, wa illam taghfir lana, oh Allah forgive us, that's sufficient. Forgiveness in itself is not sufficient. Because I can forgive you, but I can still hurt you thereafter. I can forgive you and I can still do mean things to you. You and I both know it. We've had enough in our lives where that happened. We forgive, and next thing, we make a phone call and say, yeah, forgive him, but he thinks I forgot about what he had done. So what good is that again? You're opening up the wounds. You know, there was a fellow, this guy was brilliant. He had a lawsuit. Major lawsuit was sent his way. He was a scholar, by the way. And he wrote certain things against certain people. So the lawyer sent him a letter. Says, if you don't ask me for forgiveness in public, I'm going to sue you. So you know what the scholar did? This guy was also smart. He also got accepted in his days to Oxford. You know what he wrote back? He wrote a full page he took out in the South African Sunday Times. That so and so, I had done all these things to him, and we acknowledged that I was right, but now he's demanding a forgiveness. So therefore I forgive you. Or I seek your forgiveness. What good was that? But the bottom line is, don't play with people. That if they want to get you, they're still going to get you. So he asked for the forgiveness. The lawyer said, I'm going to sue you if you don't ask for forgiveness. So this guy said, no problem. He opened the whole can of worms again and he said, now ask for your forgiveness. Now what lawsuit are you going to have after that? Absolutely nothing, because he complied. But the way in which he complied was what? وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. There was no mercy. He got the forgiveness, but no. And that's what you learn from this ayah. Number one, we have to acknowledge. And number two, we have to beg Allah for His mercy when we ask for forgiveness thereafter. Thereafter, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Everyone says, I can dress. And there's a new argument amongst the young ones out there. The argument is, where in the Quran does it say I have to dress that way? Everyone uses that argument. If you are a father or a mother, you definitely heard this. Where in the Quran does it say? You're right. Nowhere in the Quran it says you must dress a certain way. But it does say, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ means that you have to dress modestly. Define modesty however you want. But modesty means one thing, you will dress in a manner that does not expose your body. So for example, he's dressed wonderful, right? Islamically. But at the same time, he wears the same outfit, but he wears it tight. You cannot say, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. He's wearing an Islamic outfit, but the way in which he's wearing it is wrong, then it violates the ayah. On the other hand, he can be wearing a suit or whatever else, and he can be more modestly dressed than him, because it is concealing his body and not exposing where you can see every muscle and everything out there. So وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ means that dressing in a way that is modest. How you define it, you can use your discretion. And of course the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ talks about how it should be done, but based on the environments it can differ, but because it's different, it must not go against this aspect of وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Of course, Allah SWT also talks about يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, that one thing you must adopt, of course, adopt your clothing in a way that is also beautiful, it is appropriate, it is nice, at every place of salah. You know, the ulama have derived from this ayah that some people, for example, when they go for Fajr Salah, they will wear their pajamas. Or they'll wear what they wear to bed at night. Right? They do it, it's dark, they come, they pray, they go. Some of the ulama have used this ayah to say that if you wear ordinary clothing in the masjid, you are in violation and it is ma'al karaha. Now why it is with violation ma'al karaha? The ulama have said that if you go to the courtroom and you dress properly, and when you come to the masjid and you don't dress properly, then when you go to the judge, which is human, you are showing more respect. But when you are standing before the true judge, Allah, you dress ordinary, then you are not showing respect. Therefore, when he goes to the courtroom, you're going to dress like this, right? Stop even saying no, I'm joking, but you say yes. You didn't get what I said. What did I say?
If I go to court, I'm going to dress like
that. Why did I say that?
To show respect to the judge.
So what does that mean about your clothing right now?
Well, at least I'm modest and covering myself.
You missed the whole point. You missed the whole point. That's why I asked you the question. Some of the ulama have said that you have to wear your best clothes for salah. Why? Because when you're out of the masjid and you go for your business deals, then what do you do? You wear your best clothing. You cannot wear your best clothing for a business transaction or when you go to the courtroom, but when you come to Allah, you don't dress properly. Did you get what I'm saying? So therefore, some of the ulama have said based on this ayah that if you're going to dress great out there, you have to also dress great in here. And if you're going to dress simple out there, Allah did not give you a lot of good things, then you can also dress simple in here. Now you understand what I'm saying? Still doesn't get it. After Ramadan, we talk about it. So anyway, so may Allah SWT make it easy on that. Let's just do one, two ayah. وَنَزَعْنَا, by the way, I'm opening at random, so nobody must think that I'm trying to pass a certain message to certain people. As you can see, I have no special papers anyway. I'm just turning at random. So it says here, for example, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ, that one of the things that take place in Jannah is وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out, remove from your heart that the ghil. Ghil is like a thorny type of thing that is in everyone's heart. For example, you are sitting there, I just grab your water bottle without your permission. Then what feeling goes to your heart? Like, why is he being rude to me? Why is he being rude to me? Or for example, he's about to drink water and I just give him a dirty look. Like, you know, why are you drinking now and later? So you begin to have this feeling. And sometimes this feeling continues for a very long time. Allah is passing a message here that in Jannah this wouldn't take place. And another message Allah is passing to you and I is take out this ill feeling regarding other people as well in this world. Because when, you know, there's a hadith regarding in every body is a mudgha. In every body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is good, the whole body is good. If that piece of flesh is messed up, trust me, you're going to have every type of visit to the doctor, blood pressure, low pressure, high pressure, every type of pressure. It's not going to end. And then it'll go to diabetes, and Lord knows where these things go, one to the next. It is all linked if you study it. Therefore, if you don't want these problems, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ, that if you don't want this negativity in you, and you want to demolish all the health problems within your body, then take out negative feelings regarding other people. It'll happen to you, it'll happen to me, it'll happen to everybody. Having said that, once we are able to better monitor, and how do you monitor it? Simple. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana. That's all you must say every morning. Oh Allah, I thank you for giving me guidance. I thank you for blessing me with iman. I thank you for giving me a good family. Despite me having weaknesses within my, whether it's friendships, whether it's my family, whatever it may be, but you have still not taken away my iman. You are still keeping me, inshallah, on the guided pathway. And as you continue saying these things, then the negativity that will come your way or has come your way, inshallah, over a period of time, it will be reduced and it will be eliminated. So inshallah, we leave with this in mind. And one way, again, to end up with our beginning point, one way to get on track, it's not only about knowledge. You know, Haji Sahib always says, Shaitan has more knowledge than everyone. He knows all the tricks. So let's forget all these smart guys out there. He says it. Let's focus on the facts of what is good. And for that, we will end off with this other ayah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Beg Allah, you can do عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You can do the best of deeds. Allah doesn't want to burden you, inshallah, beyond what you can bear. The greatness of Allah is very, very vast. And if you begin to act, and I begin to act on this, of doing good things, not acting on just showing of how much knowledge we have, but acting on upon our knowledge, that inshallah our Jannah will become much more easier to attain as well. And don't forget the previous point. Let's take out that negativity from ourselves and get ourselves on track by continually saying, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. So that was the reason again, he said,